Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Well, the battle is joined. I was called just a few minutes ago by the New York Times, asked to respond to a statement made by Colorado United States Senator Ken Salazar. He launched an attack. Listen to this letter here. He sent this letter, an open letter, obviously released to the press, to Dr. James Dobson. He's repudiating and protesting against the Justice Sunday event we're going to be having on Sunday night here in Louisville, Kentucky. He is accusing Focus on the Family of using Christianity, misusing religion, etc. But listen to this. I understand, in contrast, you are helping to lead the effort with a telecast against Democrats in the United States Senate with Dr. Al Mohler, among others. This is from the United States Senator from Colorado, Ken Salazar. In March of 2000, Dr. Mohler said, "I believe that the Roman Church is a false church and that it teaches a false gospel, and indeed I believe that the Pope himself holds a false and unbiblical office," end quote. "My faith is the cornerstone of my values, as I am sure it is with you as well. I call on you to repudiate Dr. Mohler's comments and hope you will distance yourself from those who serve to divide the world's Christian churches against one another," end quote. He goes on and on and on. What's going on here? This is going to be the topic of our conversation today. We're not going to let this one die. Now, what in the world did I say to the New York Times in response? Well, let me just give you the flavor of this. I'm absolutely shocked that a United States senator, a man who had what must be at least a modicum of intelligence to be elected to high office, has no understanding whatsoever of the fact that evangelicals and Roman Catholics differ on major doctrinal issues. Seems to have no awareness whatsoever of a little event in world history called the Reformation of the 16th century. And as I said to the New York Times, only Senator Salazar can say whether his comments are based in gross manipulation or abject ignorance. But he's the only one who's going to be able to clarify that. We'll be talking more about this later. What we have here is an incredible broadside. And you can see what's going on. Senator Salazar says he's Catholic, and thus it's anti-Catholic to hold to these doctrines. But at the same time, it is he and his colleagues, especially his colleagues in the Senate Judiciary Committee, who have had the true anti-Catholicism in terms of the context of an appointment of a judge to sit in a federal court, when they've used code language like deeply held personal values against Alabama Attorney General Bill Pryor, yes, a Roman Catholic. And what they're saying is, if he as a Catholic actually believes in Catholic doctrine and actually believes the Catholic principle that human life begins at conception and is worthy of protection at every moment from conception until natural death, then he's going to be blocked from the federal courts by the cowardly act of a filibuster by which they will not even allow his nomination to reach the floor of the Senate for an up or down vote. Well, now we know what we're up against, and in the second segment, we're going to return to this and talk about it, because this is really where the culture war gets hot. And this is where we face that essential question as to how our Christian conviction should impact our convictions in the public square, our engagement with public policy, and our awareness and engagement with an issue as crucial as the appointment and confirmation of federal judges. Well, on a similar theme, Massachusetts Senator John Kerry has released a statement in which he is attacking Republicans for having, quote, an orthodoxy of view, end quote. Well, I guess it's pretty impossible for almost anyone to avoid that label. And for overtly inserting religion into politics, he said here, and I'm quoting, he said, "I am sick and tired of a bunch of people trying to tell me that God wants a bunch of conservative judges on the court, and that's why we have to change the rules of the United States Senate. I'm sick and tired of them saying that somehow, that they somehow have a better understanding of Christianity, of the Judeo-Christian ethic of values." Well, I think he's protesting too much. I think his toes have been stepped upon. You know, Mr. Kerry is himself, as he claims to be a Roman Catholic, he's kind of a Zen Roman Catholic, as he also is attracted to Eastern spirituality and all the rest, but it's he who disagrees with the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church on these essential issues, such as the dignity of human life, the sanctity of human life, and a whole host of issues, you know, having to do with everything from embryonic stem cell research to human cloning, all the rest. There you have it. Senator Kerry says, "Don't tell me what God wants." Well, Senator Kerry, all I'm concerned with is to find out what God wants. And we're going to find that in his word. Now, there's an evangelical Christian principle, sola scriptura. There I go again. Get another letter from a United States senator. In Sacramento, California, the newspaper has run an article suggesting that California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger may be undecided and open-minded on the issue of assisted suicide and so-called death with dignity. Governor Schwarzenegger is going to face this almost assuredly because the California General Assembly is dealing with the issue of assisted suicide, and it appears that it's going to get all the way to the governor because it has passed a committee in the House, and it looks like it has enough support probably to get through the Senate there in the California General Assembly as well. But what will the governor do? Well, just of interest here, we should note that the governor's spokespersons are now saying that he didn't say any such thing. And indeed, it looks like this was a quote taken out of context. Little wake-up call here. This is our opportunity to make clear, and especially those of you who are listening today in California, it's your opportunity to make clear to your governor that you would expect him to veto any legislation that would support a so-called right to die, mislabeled death with dignity, or anything as macabre and dangerous and tragic as assisted suicide. Meanwhile, speaking of another governor in Connecticut, Governor Jody Rell has signed, as we said yesterday, into law a civil unions legislation that gives homosexual couples in her state all the rights that pertain to marriage, just not the name. Now, we should note, in the interest of political fairness, that Governor Rell is a Republican. And after this civil unions legislation passed in the House and Senate of the Connecticut legislature, Governor Rell signed it. Not only did she sign it, but she bragged about it, saying that this is a point of pride for the state of Connecticut because they become the first state to have adopted such legislation without being forced to do so by a court order. Some point of pride. That shattering sound you hear is the glass of civilization cracking. Because what this means is that in the name of tolerance, in the name of diversity, the central institution of civilization itself is being negotiated away. You can call it a civil union. You can refuse to call it marriage. But when you give this new contractual agreement all the rights and privileges of marriage, you come, well, just short of establishing homosexual marriage. You've done so in everything but the name. And by the way, it's not enough for the gay activists in Connecticut. They have announced that though they are pleased with this legislation and they are pleased that Governor Rell has signed it, they're going to keep pressing for same-sex marriage. And all that means is this law would be modified so as to allow the word marriage. We should note as a little footnote here that in Connecticut, the only way they got this civil unions legislation through, as they did, was because they also adopted a specific statement saying that this would not be called marriage. But just remember, because this is nothing more than legislation, all it takes is one more bill to reverse that fact, and you do have same-sex marriage. Once again, we are reminded this is why we need a federal marriage amendment. Anything short of a federal marriage amendment will not give us the protection we need to preserve the integrity of marriage. We've been talking about the death with dignity issue in euthanasia, and of course, the classic case of the legalization of euthanasia remains the Netherlands. And there in Holland, a new report indicates that the numbers are rising. The numbers of persons who are supposedly choosing euthanasia have been going up in recent years, but at least since the year 2002, when it was first officially legal, the cases have now grown to the point that this past year it was 1,886. Now, we've been watching this so closely, and of course, what you have here is a slippery slope that is slipperier than most people could ever comprehend, because you go from this death with dignity idea, and you go from claiming a person's supposed right to terminate a life that is then marked by intolerable suffering, all the definitions here being loaded with consequence. You go from that, which is supposedly voluntary euthanasia, to what we all know is involuntary euthanasia. You go from one form of mercy killing to another. And then you move from, as we have seen, you move from adults to adolescents and now children. And, of course, we've been following the notorious Groningen protocols there in the Netherlands by which doctors have been euthanizing infants. There is no mercy in mercy killing. Meanwhile, at home in Alabama, the little town of Pritchard, Alabama, now faces the fact that its mayor, Ron Davis, has said he will ask the city council to temporarily bar the building of new churches from areas that are zoned for businesses or could be zoned for business. The mayor and the city council are upset that they're losing tax revenue because churches are buying up property and, of all things, building church buildings. The mayor's adamant about this. A little point of irony. They're going to be meeting today, the city council, of all things, in a church building. The city attorney said that he was unaware with the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act of 2000, which, by the way, says that religious institutions and churches cannot be discriminated against in this way and can't face any land use regulation that would apply to non-religious organizations. Perhaps the attorney needs to read the law. I'll be back to talk about Colorado Senator Ken Salazar in a little letter he said. He said changes the terms of the debate for Sunday night. It's all about the judges. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. It was a surprise this afternoon when I heard from the reporter at the New York Times about this. It appears that Colorado Senator Ken Salazar has decided he's going to push back against the event we're going to be holding on Sunday night. And this just shows you again that the battle is precisely in play. This is where it should be expected to be, because nothing is more important right now than the federal judiciary. And this is a wake-up call for an awful lot of us, that we need to pay close attention to the third branch of our government, because that's where the sexual revolution, the assaults upon family and human dignity, that's where a lot of this is being lost. And it's all because over the last 3 and 4 decades, a number of judges have been appointed to the bench who hold a view of the judiciary and of the law and of the United States Constitution that allows them simply to invent new rights. And to disregard the very founding design of our Constitution and our system of government, and instead, we'll come up with rulings like 1973, Roe v. Wade, legalizing abortion. Can anyone believe for a second that the founders of this nation intended in the Constitution to and in the Bill of Rights to suggest a right to abortion? What you have in 2003, Lawrence v. Texas, in which there's a right to sodomy. Now, you know, can anyone believe that the founders of this country intended that in the Constitution? And then, you know, you just have case after case after case and decision after decision in which judges are simply ruling according to their own moral values. And then they go to the Constitution in order to say, well, we can find it there, we can put it there, and bend the Constitution to their own direction. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, in his characteristically scathing dissents, has time and time again come back to this, saying it's not the job of judges to decide what should be moral. It's the job of judges to interpret the Constitution. Now, that's a nice thought. Senator Ken Salazar, by the way, he's only been in office a matter of months. He was just elected back in 2004. He has decided that he's going to launch this broadside, and he did so in the form of a public letter to Jim Dobson, the president of Focus on the Family. And it's an incredible thing here. Dr. Dobson, so well known, the host of the Focus on the Family radio broadcast, and of course also chairman of the Focus on the Family board. He is a spokesman for a huge movement. And it is he, along with Chuck Colson, a well-known Christian figure, and myself, who'll be speaking at this big event called Justice Sunday on Sunday night. And I'll tell you what's really behind this. Senator Salazar is himself a Roman Catholic. And what you have are liberal Roman Catholics being, they're receiving some heat, let me put it this way, because they are blocking judges who would hold to the moral principles that are ensconced in Catholicism. And this is one of those strange things. You know, on this program in recent days, because of the death of Pope John Paul II and because of the election of Pope Benedict XVI, we've been talking a lot about the points of divergence between evangelicals and Roman Catholics. And we've also been talking about the common points of concern in what's called the culture war. And both of those dimensions are very, very important. And I don't think we failed to cover the waterfront there. And not only on this radio program, but also in my written commentaries. I think people know where I stand. And yet what we have here is the reality, in which on issues like abortion and homosexuality and the dignity of human life and the integrity of marriage, you have conservative Catholics who are holding to the official teaching of the Catholic Church on those questions. and conservative evangelicals who are holding to the teaching of Scripture on those questions, we stand together. And we should not be embarrassed to say we're in common cause on this. That doesn't mean we compromise our theological convictions about other issues. It doesn't mean we deny that that there are not only minor doctrinal disagreements, but there are disagreements that go to the very core of authority and truth and gospel in the church. And as revealed in God's Word, it goes to the very essence of what it means to be a Christian. We do understand that. We're not compromising that when we say that nonetheless we can work together on issues like abortion and homosexuality, because we do share a conviction that life begins at conception and that marriage is an institution created by God that demands and deserves our honor. We must preserve its integrity. And so Senator Salazar here has tried to divide and conquer. That's the effort. That's the technique. Divide and conquer. Divide the evangelicals and divide evangelicals from public opinion. Try to make us look like some kind of nuts, some kind of extremists. And so he writes this letter. And of course, when you write a letter to someone and release it to the public, it's not really a letter. It's a political act. He says here, I read in today's newspaper a quote from your organization that said, I should be alarmed about the anti-Catholicism of some of my Senate colleagues. Your newspaper and radio ads also target Christians like me and Senator Harry Reid. I'm proud that Senator Reid is a devout Mormon Christian. By the way, as an evangelical, I just have to say I can't acknowledge anyone as a devout Mormon Christian. I can acknowledge him as a devout Mormon, but not as a devout Mormon Christian. Mormon and Christian are oxymorons. Well, I guess I better brace for letters over that one, too. I have not encountered, said Senator Salazar, any feelings of anti-Catholicism from any of my fellow senators on either side of the aisle. Indeed, we have 24 United States senators who are Catholic, both from the Democratic and Republican parties. Now, again, that is either a statement of blatant ignorance or of manipulation and dishonesty. Only Senator Salazar knows which. Because the fact is that you take just one of the 10 judges of crucial concern right now in terms of the nomination battle. You take former Alabama Attorney General Bill Pryor. And you take what he faced in his hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. What did he face? He faced liberal senators asking him if it was not true that he held, quote, deeply held personal beliefs, end quote, about abortion that would mean that he would look at any case about abortion as informed by his deeply held personal beliefs. Now, what deeply held personal beliefs are in play with former Attorney General Bill Pryor of Alabama? He's a Roman Catholic. Not only is he a Roman Catholic, he's a Roman Catholic who takes his faith seriously and believes in what his church teaches on issues like abortion. These deeply held personal beliefs that are held by Mr. Pryor aren't held because he just walked through a belief store and picked up one from this aisle and one from the next. He's actually a consistent Roman Catholic. Now, I can respect that. Now, I don't agree with him. I don't agree with him over many, many issues of theology, many, many points of doctrine. And those that get right to the core of the essence of what it means to be a Christian. But I do understand that we live in a constitutional republic in which I would be pleased to have Mr. Pryor sit as a judge on a federal court. And I will fight for his right to do so, and I will also fight for his right to be confirmed, or at least to have the privilege of an up or down vote in the Senate, without this code language of opposition from those who disguise their attack on faith and their attack on Christian conviction and religious conviction with this code language of deeply held personal beliefs. But Senator Salazar decided to launch his broadside against me in this divide-and-conquer effort, and he said, I'm not anti-Catholic, and none of my colleagues are anti-Catholic, but Albert Mohler is. He quotes me from March of 2000, by the way, from the Larry King Show, and he quotes me saying, I believe that the Roman Church is a false church, and it teaches a false gospel, and indeed I believe that the Pope himself holds a false and unbiblical office, end quote. Well, surprise, surprise. That's what the Reformation was all about. I am an evangelical theologian. I hold to the faith of the Reformation. That's who I am. And by the way, the Roman Catholic Church, including as articulated in a recent writing by the newly elected Pope, doesn't believe that my church is a true church. But we can work together on these issues, and I'll fight for the right of Bill Pryor to sit as a judge in a federal court. Senator Salazar said that James Dobson should repudiate Dr. Mohler's comments, and he says he hopes he will distance himself from those who serve to divide the world's Christian churches against one another. Nonsense. I'd love to know what you think about this. This is not just an issue related to one United States senator and this host. This is really where the battle is joined for all of those who believe that Christian conviction should not be eliminated from the public square and certainly not by cowardly code language. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I'd love to know what you think about this. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
Listening to the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmueller.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mueller.
Hello, welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. As you can tell, I'm a little steamed about this. It's not every day you get a call from the New York Times about a U.S. senator deciding to label you some kind of intolerant and divisive figure, much less to ask my friend Dr. Jim Dobson to distance himself and from me and repudiate me and my views. By the way, I'm not going to stay up late tonight wondering if that's going to happen. We all know what's going on here. And here's the absolutely amazing thing. There are so many Roman Catholics who are in elected office who are Roman Catholic by heritage, but they are not holding to these positions. I mean, just think of someone like Ted Kennedy, perhaps one of the most famous Irish Catholic families in America. And yet on the issues of abortion and so many other issues, he doesn't stand with the teachings of his church, but against them. And, we try to support a nominee such as Senator Bill Pryor. Got senators on my mind here. Alabama Attorney General Bill Pryor, in terms of his nomination battle for confirmation in the U.S. Senate. And we have to, with him, hear this kind of language about deeply held personal beliefs. Now, what about the beliefs of Senator Salazar? Well, we know this. When he was running for office, he said that he believed that all federal court nominations should go ahead and reach the floor of the Senate for an up or down vote. But he's changed his position. He acknowledged that, by the way, in a recent story published in the Denver Post. And he said, quote, "You come here as a new senator and you learn," end quote. In other words, he changed his position. He ran on one position and then he changed it. And there you have it. I'd love to know what you think about this. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're going to go to Sean, listening on WTSJ in Cincinnati. Sean, go right ahead.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing hot, though, Sean.
Oh, I'm steamed, too. You got me steamed. Between you and the polyurethane upstairs, I'm really steamed. But I just wanted to say that anybody that doesn't – I was raised Roman Catholic. I would consider myself – if you had to put me in a box, I would be considered a mid-axe dispensationalist, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And we uphold the gospel of grace, and anybody that doesn't understand the issues that there are very divisive issues concerning Catholicism, and I'll just evangelicalism or fundamentalism, they're living under a rock.
Yeah, or they're just being dishonest, don't you think, Sean? I mean, I just can't believe that Senator Salazar really doesn't understand this. To me, it's just manipulation.
It's like you were talking to John Kerry. I mean, he used the Catholic card as a means to get votes. If you don't, there are differences. There are major differences between the two ideas of thought when it comes to the theology. As far as like you were talking about abortion and the sanctity of marriage, we're on this, and the deity of Christ. I think you were talking about yesterday. Yeah, we're in agreement on that. But when it comes to the issues of salvation and justification by faith alone, we're diametric with the Roman Church, as you said earlier. I believe Sir Robert Anderson and men like that called the Catholic Church the Roman Church.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, and the Roman Church, as it constitutes itself with the Bishop of Rome as its supreme pontiff, it officially acknowledges the very same thing. It's not just like we only have one side saying we have a disagreement. We have a longstanding disagreement, and it's best understood in respect to each other when we're honest about it. We've got callers from Tampa and from other places in Florida, other parts of the nation who are calling in. I want to know what you think. 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, before we take other callers, let me just give you a review of what we're talking about here. The big issue is the confirmation battle over judges. Let's just face that. And in this political season, nothing is more important than this. As a matter of fact, at this particular point in American history, nothing is more important than this. Both sides in this culture war know that the courts are the big battle. To lose the courts for either side is to lose this battle eventually. Because, and I think this is an unwarranted and unconstitutional development, because the courts have taken on this supremacy, this role, unless we get judges on these courts who are going to rule with humility and with a clear and simple and direct understanding of the Constitution in terms of its original intent, we're going to see a continuation of the kind of social sexual revolution that's been pressed by jurists and by judges all across this country. There are cases lined up right now that could utterly transform the landscape of America. It's up to us to do what we must right now. We'll be right back. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. The battle is joined. The big heat's on the judiciary question and a big focus on Sunday night's event, Justice Sunday, held here in Louisville, Kentucky. I'll be speaking, as will focus on the family chairman, Dr. James Dobson, and Charles Colson, of course, a famed figure in American life with the Nixon administration, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, founder and president of Prison Fellowship. This is going to be a very important event. I think the importance of it is what explains this incredible attack from the other side on the event, to trying to get it marginalized before it ever happens. All this when a group of Christians tried to get together and will get together to talk about an issue as important as how we as Christian citizens should understand the third branch of government and what we should expect out of judges and what it's going to take to get the right kind of judges confirmed and on the bench. Let's go to Mary Ellen calling from Pinellas Park, Florida. Welcome, Mary Ellen.
Thank you. God bless you, Dr. Mueller. I listen to you every day. I am a very conservative Roman Catholic, and I wanted your listeners to know that I called my senator, Bill Nelson, before I called you and said, no filibuster, do an up or a down, a yes or a no, but don't filibuster. They need to listen. And everybody in your calling area, call your senators. Do what I did and let them know. They were nice to me until I told them what I wanted. Then he was kind of not that nice and only asked for my zip code. And I offered him all my information so he would know that I'm real. And I agree with you completely.
Well, Mary Ellen, God bless you. I really appreciate your call. And I also appreciate the fact that you put some action behind your convictions in this and called your senator's office. I think that was really important. And, you know, I also love the fact you wanted them to have your name. You wanted them to know exactly who was talking to them. And, Mary Ellen, I am thankful you called us today. And thanks for your encouragement as well. It's great to hear from you. Very quickly, let's go to Jim calling from Tampa, listening on WTBN. Jim, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Mueller. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm doing a little hot, but under the circumstances, let's turn that into the right kind of energy, right?
There you go. There you go. I don't, this Mr. Salazar must have been absent from Mass 2 weeks ago, because across the nation, we signed postcards to send to our senators to tell them that we wanted them not to use a pro-choice or pro-abortion litmus test against judicial nominees. And all across the nation in Catholic churches 2 weeks ago, we were signing these postcards and sending them in.
I love that, Jim. I mean, that just underlines what we're talking about here. Now I'm not shocked when you tell me that. In that, I know that the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church is consistently pro-life on questions of abortion, euthanasia, you name it. There's really no question about that. So how in the world can Senator Salazar act like making that point is anti-Catholic?
Well, the thing is that they're Catholics in name only, and they have to understand that true ecumenism means that we sit down as brothers in Christ, We look at each other and determine what we have in common, such as belief in Trinity, belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, all right? And the social issues like against homosexual unions and against abortion and against euthanasia. And we say, we can agree on these. We can work together on these.
That's right.
And these other things, we can sit down and we can dialogue. Maybe we get up and we disagree, but we still do it as brothers in Christ.
Jim, and let me tell you, I can have that conversation with you because you're an honest man, and we can talk about this thing honestly and respectfully, even and especially where we disagree. God bless you for your call. Thank you so much. Listen, calling from New York, we have Bill Donahue, who's president of the Catholic League. And if there's anyone, I think, who can really speak for these issues on behalf of American Catholics, it's Bill Donahue. You've seen him all over the press. You've seen him in the media. Mr. Donahue, welcome to this program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, let me tell you, I guess you've seen this statement from Ken Salazar. I'm just hoping people can see through this and understand what it is. There's no doubt, there's no secret that evangelicals and Roman Catholics differ on any number of important theological issues. But you know, Mr. Donahue, I am absolutely unembarrassed and not ashamed to stand together in defense of human life and the integrity of marriage and a whole range of issues.
Yeah, listen, I finished with Imus yesterday on his radio and simulcast show, and having a lot of things to say about the new pope and the like, and I ended the show by saying this. I said, listen, I have more in common with evangelical Protestants and Orthodox Jews on the contemporary moral issues of the day than I do with my fellow liberal Catholics. That's right. Theological divisions are not going to stop us from coming together, because we know that if you're a committed Christian, I don't care if you're Catholic or Protestant, and you are a committed Christian, you want to get on the federal bench in this country, there are people, particularly in the Democratic Party, who are going to raise the bar so high as to make it impossible for someone who is pro-life to get on the federal bench. That's where the real bigotry is in this country. Now they're running scared, or they're on the defensive, and they're trying to do a spin job. It's not going to work.
Mr. Donahue, you know, when former Alabama Attorney General William Pryor had his hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, some of the liberal senators cloaked that what I consider to be their hostility to him and to his Catholic conviction by speaking of his, quote, deeply held personal beliefs when it comes to an issue like abortion. Isn't that the real form of anti-Catholic prejudice here?
You're absolutely right. We were actively involved in that. That is code for deeply held religious beliefs. You see, they're dancing around it. You know, it really disgusts me because you got so-called Catholics like Ted Kennedy and Patrick Leahy and others who are leading this charge. See, if you accept the teachings of the Catholic Church on abortion, which is pro-life, then they are going to make it impossible for you to get in. Now, it may not be de jure discrimination in the sense that it's codified in law, but it is de facto discrimination. As a matter of custom and fact, if you are pro-life, if, in other words, if you're a Catholic and you accept the teachings of the Catholic Church on abortion, or if you're a Protestant of any denomination and you accept the idea of pro-life, they are going to make it so difficult as to have the effect of discriminating against you. We have tagged them on that, you have tagged them on that, and many others have tagged them on that. It stung them. Well, it should sting them. You know, bigotry can come with it.
Oh, we just lost Mr. Donahue, and boy, he was on a hot point there, too. Bigotry does come in many different flavors and in many different ways, and it certainly, in this case, is coming from those who are using religious language and cloaking it with this kind of code language to obfuscate, to obscure, to hide what's really going on here. All right, folks, we know what we're up against. It was great to hear from Mr. Donahue. Bill Donahue is a real Catholic Catholic. And you know what? Let me tell you what I was going to tell him here just before we lost him. I was going to tell him that I've got a theory. On issues like abortion and the integrity and marriage of all the rest, if he could just get his fellow Catholics to be Catholic, and I could just get all our fellow who call themselves evangelicals to be genuinely evangelical, I think we'd have a whole new picture on this thing. And that's what Justice Sunday is about. It's about educating people about what's at stake and helping people to connect the dots in terms of Christian conviction and our responsibility as citizens. I'll be back with some final thoughts in just a minute. I'm Albert Mohler. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler program. Well, that was fun. That's a real Catholic. And that's where a real conversation can be had in America between a real Catholic and a real evangelical. That's where we can talk about where we really agree and where we differ. And the battle's joined. We started today talking about Colorado Senator Ken Salazar's attack on me and upon Justice Sunday and what all that means. Claims of anti-Catholic bias and all the rest in the background, all to hide what's really going on here. Finally, we're going to go to Paul calling from Corydon, Indiana, listening on WFIA. Paul, welcome.
Thank you very much, and God bless you and the others that are slated to speak this Sunday. I just wanted to call and say that I am so terribly thankful that somebody's willing to stand up for the truth in this day and age, and I hope and pray, and I'm very encouraged to hear people from the Catholic persuasion calling in and being so supportive. I pray God's blessing upon all who respond. I hope this is a battle cry for the troops to be rallied, and it seems to me that this is in the spirit of the early apostles.
Well, I hope so, Paul. Thank you so much for that encouragement. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate your statement of prayer for the event on Sunday night, because I want folks to pray that all of us will say the right things and show the right spirit. I think that's very important. We need to speak the truth, and we need to do so in a way that's winsome and clear and also shows that we are really about just helping Christians to understand what's at stake here and then to be motivated to do the right thing. But you know what? I'm not going to be deterred by the likes of Colorado Senator Ken Salazar. As a matter of fact, he's lit the retro rockets here. And, you know, this kind of opposition just goes to show we're right on target. And that's exactly what we got to keep on. We've got to keep the focus on the issue of the courts. We've got to keep a focus on the very real expectation that every American should have, that when a president nominates an individual to a federal court, they have an opportunity to have an up or down vote in the Senate. And after all, you have the Judiciary Committee that has passed it on with approval, passed all of these nominations on with approval, and there just is a minority of senators preventing them from getting a vote. The battle's joined. There's nothing more important than this in terms of our contemporary political context. And we as Christian citizens must be not only aware, we must be educated, we must be engaged, we must be illuminated about what's going on here in terms of understanding how to connect the dots. We must learn how to apply Christian worldview thinking to this aspect, knowing that far too many Christians have simply ignored the third branch of government. And that has led to disaster. But it's a disaster that can be corrected if we'll just do the right thing and get the Senate to do the right thing. We'll be back tomorrow. Our special guest will be Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the Family. We'll be talking about Justice Sunday and what's at stake. You won't want to miss it. I'll meet you there.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Moeller's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.